program. And fallow ground is ground that is in past times produced. And he's talking about Christians here. And I felt he was talking about those over 50. And there ought to be a real challenge offered to those over 50. And one of them is Jeremiah 4:3, and the other is Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourself according to righteousness, upright in right standing with God. Reap according to mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for and of Him, and require His favor till He comes and teaches you righteousness and rains His righteous gift of salvation upon you. And so, there needs to be a real challenge back again for the over 50s.
I need that.
There's many of them that haven't produced anything for a while. And what I was saying is they needs to be a challenge given to them for next year's harvest. When you're sowing the wheat field, you sow it in the summer. And then you reap the next year. So what I was saying was, I'll turn over to Jeremiah 4:3-2. It's like there's going to be a harvest there, but there's seasons of it. And it's not going to be without a preparation. And there's a lot of people that have really been used to the Lord in big ways in the past in your area. And they don't have any vision. They need re-challenge. And as I said, Lord, men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your ground left uncultivated for a season so that you may not sow among thorns. So it's like there's going to be a plowing back there. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire, consuming all that gets in the way, and burning so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doing. Declare to Judah and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow the trumpet in the land, cry aloud, and thus say, assemble yourself, and let's go into the fortified cities. So there needs to be a trumpet blown, and a challenge issued, especially those over 50s. For this was what I was seeing today, was so much uncultivated ground there that lost vision. And I think that these are people in ministry and out of ministry that feel like their ground is not produced in a few years. And I was told, I was shown a tree blooming. And I have no idea what kind of tree blooms this time of year. But this tree is blooming now. And it's called a late bloomer. So we're still talking about those over 50, the late bloomers. It's time for them to come back in. Then I was given 2 cans of beer. And beer in the Bible means wells. And one was set on the east side, and one was set on the west side. And these two were like witnesses. And I believe that they represent not only witnesses, but two things that's going to take place there. I believe there's going to be 2 wells opened. And one will be on one side, and one will be on the other side of Indianapolis. And they will be 2 witnesses. And there'll be other wells opened after that. These are two major wells. And I believe there's two old major wells that is getting ready to be uncapped too, which is Marie Woodworth Header and yep, and William Brown. So there's two callings there. Intercession by revelation. That's the problem. So there's going to come the revelation there which they agree with. It's there now. And he said, there's something else sometimes. This beer had names on it. I could see. Is there a brewery in Indianapolis?
This particular brewery. There's not a major brewery.
This wasn't a major brewery. This was a small brewery. Oh, I'm interested in the name of it.
Alcatraz Brewing Company downtown.
It's right off the center of town.
Alcatraz?
Yeah, about two blocks off the center.
Do you understand what we're talking about? Yeah, breakout. Releasing the prisoners. I knew that was important, but I couldn't see the name of it. But that name is important. And I don't know what the name Alcatraz means either, but we do know it was a prison. And I think it's kept the hardliners locked up there. And the hardliners here are not bad. They're really good, but I think there's been an imprisoned there against the anointing. And especially those over 50. Now those over 50 will come in before the youth harvest comes in. And so I think everything that's going on there is going to be preparation from now on. Preparation, which will be breaking up uncultivated ground that hasn't borne for a season, and sowing. And I really felt the sowing was going to come by revelation. And intercession is the scattering of the grain. So, this is what I've said last night. And I think this is when the battle was so severe. Because there's a major purpose there with y'all. And this negative vortex is doing everything he can to discourage people, to get the anointing to move out, to stop the witnessing. But there needs to be another challenge to the churches. And I felt that one of the churches would be down a ways. You know, like Indianapolis here, be here and the other, it'd be sort of like that. Be up a little way, but one was east and one was west. And the both of them will have such a close witness with one another. And a calling of rulers and ministers to come together and settle their differences. And if you notice here, we're talking about a Judah praise goes along with intercession. And we're talking about Jerusalem. And we're talking about those that's at peace. In this, I felt that what he was saying, there's many people that's been sort of content there. They're not going to be at peace with it anymore. They're going to have to go to war. Because I think the Lord is challenging the many pastors there too to come together and to get a vision for taking that city. One thing that I saw is going to be a necessity there. In your intercession by revelation is healings. That you ought to get into that. That ought to start immediately. Because that two cans of beer is yours. Therefore, that means there's two deep wells open for you to pull from. And everything that's going to take place is going to be caused by the movement of the Holy Spirit, especially the beginning of healings. So, expect to be used in that right away. Expect to see that right away. For it's like that's going to be a need to really begin to show the people again in your area that the Lord hadn't left it. He's still there. He's ready to move. But I felt that all this was a preparation for 2006. There's going to be a great shaking begin in this nation. And 2006 is going to be a shaking, and y'all need to be ready for it. For that which can't be shaken will remain and will multiply also. And I know from past revelation, it's going to take at least four churches coming together in agreement. As others in, welcome everyone in. And it begin to unite the pastors. As that comes in, so the authority began to come in. And it was like, as I said, like many pastors there, that would just feel like they're doing time in prison and are about to lose hope. But it's time that the gates of Alcatraz open. And well, again, there is. I haven't been able to. I do know that there's old proxies about Indianapolis. I can't find them, and it doesn't matter because I was told there is. So there's promises that are at hand there, and so I'm saying, be ready for the beginning in 2006. Be ready for the return of God's glory, probably the end of 2007, 2008. And you need to be in place by 2010 for harvest. And what you sowed this summer, you should begin the reaping in the natural. I mean, you should. I think that you begin to reap in the natural what you sowed. Now you begin to reap it in May. So, you need to intercede to find out where you want y'all to meet and how you can challenge the people. And I think where there's a place that seems hopeless and you begin to show a light, I wouldn't be surprised how many comes your way. And what I'm seeing, what y'all going to do is a real thing. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy either. I think you see that, don't you?
Yeah, there's a price to pay.
Yeah, there's a price. But what other? This is the only game in town. This is God's game. And I've seen an explosion there. So people are saying there's going to be an explosion here and there, all over. I've seen different things are going to take place in different places. But that explosion there will probably be revealed the cross. Right on up to Chicago, Nashville, right over into Illinois, Ohio, and on past it.
It's time that you released that word, you said that you saw a fountain. In Indianapolis was a fountain, and
yeah.
He said that it was that he started to see
it. Flowed down in every direction. Mm-hmm. And there'll also come new technology there on down the road, and a new joining. The more of y'all that join together, the more authority you'll have. But one thing I'm positive. Intercession. You notice here what he's talking about here, getting this color, this fallow ground. You begin to break it up with intercession. You begin to soften it with intercession. And that intercession, what I'm seeing, the river that's going to flow is revelation. To agree with him. I was standing, and my left hand was to the west, and my right hand was to the east. So, there's two places that are ready. They'll eventually become four. And then, from what I'm seeing, they'll expand throughout the Midwest and then go past the rivers. But as to, I feel this is an invitation right now. But I'm sure that this is a, there's going to be the revelation given for the application. And I think a lot of us, we've had this vision of the church outside the walls and the fields full of youth. It's like you need the 50s first. And you need those that's over 50 on up in there. Do you need their wisdom? And you need the wisdom of their failures. For see, the reason that they become fallow ground is they feel they're a failure. And they feel they've done nothing, but their failures are the most valuable thing you could have. In a time of God's justice, we will see His presence and His glory again. Have you ever seen His glory?
To a certain degree, but not the degree I want
to see. Before 77, I lived in it. If I knew it wasn't going to return, I'd ask you to take me home immediately. You are down here. If I didn't believe what I was telling you, I'd be ready to go. I'd stay that way anyway. But I came back from death 30 years ago this August 8th. 30 is the age of maturity. I come back for one thing. I wouldn't have come back for anything except souls. And what we're talking about is a billion youth coming to the Lord. And I think all you've ever heard these prophecies before. And my job is to touch a few of the church leaders and prepare them for the greatest harvest that will ever be. But it would fall apart without wisdom behind it. Without the wisdom behind it, with all the perversion in America, it would get turned sideways. So, the failures of the past, they know what not to do. Also, I think that many of these are awesome teachers, but they've just given up. They need re-challenged. And I feel if they are re-challenged, they can come in to the anointing That anointing is now. Those cans of beer was given today. For as soon as I was given them, I handed them to y'all. Two wells. Two witnesses. Two people of the past. Marie Woodworth Etter had the morals to birth in literary things, which I believe one of her greatest attributes from what I'm seeing was able to intercede right into the heart of God. And William Branham, a spirit of revelation there to speak right into the heart of God. These scriptures I've given you, y'all would probably be better at gleaning through them than I am. But I do know he said, break it up now. Begin the plowing now. Begin, I think the plowing is offer invitations. And in this thing, I think it's over 50. You know, I think what affects first is not going to be the men as much as the women. The women finding their place again. For the women over 50, they got children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren even close at hand. And you're talking about some loyalty. So this war that started there, I wouldn't figure on a short one. I would figure on one continually for the next 50 years. Whatever ground you take is ground that he means for you to hold. And he's not dealing with a church there. He's dealing with the church. And you have some over 50s that have wisdom. And DeVern Franke is a man that, to me, he's got great wisdom. These other brothers, they've been through the mill back there. You've got some women back there that are totally sincere. Never thought of the fallow ground as people over 50. But what he was saying, there's been people that's bore great harvests in the past. Some of them in their teens and early 20s. And it's like they haven't had a harvest since then. And now it's going to take a sowing. It's going to take a breaking and a sowing. So I think intercession and revelation is going to bring a brokenness there that you haven't seen in a long time. So get ready for weeping. Uncontrollable weeping. Sowing in tears. And the first of your harvest. In some way, you'll be doing something next May or June or something. It's simply a token of what's awaiting. I know that, as I said, I know there's past promises to Indianapolis, even Indiana. I'd find out what they were. Because they promised us back there that was God, and he hadn't brought them to pass yet. Very serious time for you. but it's a very serious time for this nation. Do y'all know about the prophecy I brought concerning the Texas politician in 99? On July the 6th. That was that this Texas politician would be the next president. And that he would have two terms. And the greatest thing that this man would do was appoint 3 federal judges. I don't think it's an accident you being here today, do you? And who have we know now? Have y'all heard the news today? Senator Day O'Connor resigned. And she's been the swing that's swung the wrong way. So he will. There's 2 that he will absolutely appoint now. And man, do we need to get behind him. I thought everybody heard that about the burning bush.
Yeah,
but it was that prophecy about the burning bush. And it'd be trouble in all of his administration, a foot of water. But the next man would be prepared to come behind him with Scott and show his too. And he would change the statute of this nation. He would define marriages. He would begin to, the next man that would come after him, he'll end abortion and bring prayer back into school. So Bush is just a preparation for the next 8 years behind him. We've got 12 years in here. The church has got to take advantage of it. Well, that's today. Do you understand how important a federal judge is? These others, some of them have been in there for 25, 30 years. What takes place in the rest of his term will determine where this nation goes for the next 30 years. Hello. And I got a whole mouthful of stuff. Are you talking about my tickets or anything? I know what about Toronto Airport. That makes no difference to me as long as Dennis is with me. That'd be fine. Well, I don't have any idea on that. So I'll leave that up to y'all. I'll just leave the whole thing up to y'all, honey. But I do feel it's important. I know that it's in our time up here is important, and I don't know about Hamilton. I haven't got anything on Hamilton. Yeah, okay. Okay, honey. You too, honey. Bye-bye. Now, I've been waiting for confirmation on these things. Nobody else is getting it. Nobody else got the burning bush until I brought that prophecy either. I believe there's a Christian. God has chosen a Christian to take the next place. And I believe he'll be a spirit-filled Christian. And many people like Lou Ingalls and others believe that he's Sam Brownback. I don't know. He hadn't told me. But this man really has a favor, and they take me to him, and he says, I'm being given awesome favor in the... He's a senator from Kansas, and he's a First Nation man.
Yeah, he's the one trying to push through that reconciliation with us.
Yeah. Well, we have not because we don't ask. And we ask amiss. When we wait on the revelation, we shouldn't ask anymore. I think you understand. That means he said, this is my will. We should proclaim it. We should audibly speak it into existence. For the one that's bringing that is the Holy Spirit, and he's the creative hand of God. And, I've seen things like a factory being turned over to the Lord there, and where you could buy wheelchairs and crutches really cheap for just hauling them off. Where the glory and the power of God is revealed. So the Lord is really speaking every place right now that the kingdom of God is not words but power. So there's been enough teaching. Now it should be illustrated in power. And I wouldn't become discouraged if I didn't see the power immediately. I would keep going until I got it. But I'd get that revelation, and I'd call as many intercessions as I could together in different spots. You know, around the city. And I would challenge them, and then I would come together at key times. And the worst thing that I've seen take place with intercessors is some of them get the spotlight. That's so dangerous. Intercessors, I believe the reason they ought to be called together so many places is Matthew 6:6. The closets. You get a half a dozen or a dozen intercessors in the closet, and they get no credit. Boy, if they can change things. I think we've been going about intercession wrong. I think it can be birthed in the closet. This makes sense to you? And it shouldn't be just not one group, but let them at different times, then they can come together. They can actually come together and hold them a conference. But you need some wise ones in charge of it. But it is a serious time. There's all kind of stuff that's ready to come down on America. And there's a common grace that has been removed, where it rains on the just and unjust alike. That's not going to take place now. There is a free grace, which is salvation grace. There is divine grace, which is in, which are the gifts. And there's great grace, which is harvest. And it's time that we get a vision of coming together for harvest. I hope that some of the other revelation gifts back there are getting some of this. But it doesn't bother me that they aren't, because many times I've got stuff and warnings nobody else got. And there have been a lot of prophecy contrary to what I got. But over the year, you found out who really got it by the death that took place. So, there is divine grace, which are the gifts, can change things like plagues, droughts, floods, storms that get ready to come. And also plagues. We're on the verge of earthquakes. We're on the verge of a shaking, troubled waters. And the Lord has given all authority to his church. And I think he's just going to pull back his hand right now and say, I'm pulling back mercy. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to hold you accountable for what you do with what I've given you. If the church stays imprisoned, and this Alcatraz there, I believe, is what the church is built around it to protect itself. And they got the keys. They're going to have to come out and begin to boldly proclaim some things. We're getting ready for the greatest shaking you've ever seen in the economy, and it'll be shaken to the church, not from it. And the Lord, I believe, is allowing this shaking so the church can come in its rightful place. I think you're getting ready for a sunburst or a mountain. This wouldn't take place there.
Oh, Bob, I thought I'd rather hear you than talk to you, but I feel like there's a couple things I need to tell you. One of this week, I had shared this with David on the way here, but I had asked the Lord on Sunday to prepare me, prepare the ground for what would happen when I came. And one of the things that happened Tuesday, the Lord, I was on the telephone with the Lord. And
1 Corinthians 14:2.
And as it was as though he said, tell me what's happening. Tell me what's happening. And we were talking about the city of Indianapolis. That's what was happening in my head. And the uniting of the church, the eldership of the city. And so the only words that came to me from the Lord were, when are you going to do it? Are you going to do it?
That's a good word.
And it was continual. It was like each step of the way, I knew inside of me what it was, but he said, when are you going to do that? And he wouldn't get off of me until I give him the answer. I had to say Tuesday. I had to say today. I couldn't let it be never. Yes. And so that was one thing I wanted to share with you. Another thing is something that Rick and I had shared together, and it really went right with what you said in one of your statements too, because you wanted to be confirmed. The Lord had spoken several years ago that he was raising something in Indianapolis that would be a worship center, but Flair would be all wrapped through that worship center. It wasn't a teaching center the way we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It was a center for worship with prayer wrapped through it, always going up. And so that was another place that I wanted to share. And then Rick Joyner, yes, it was Rick Joyner, 20 years ago, had spoken that he had seen Indianapolis as a sleeping giant. And
I didn't know that.
I think I still have the tape.
Oh, if you do.
Yes.
Write it down.
And that the giant couldn't get up. It was like the giant of the fairy tale that was tied down.
Yeah.
All that. Yes, exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was tied down to the
by ground. Little people with
yes.
little minds.
Yes. And that the Lord sent in two mighty battleships from other places to make the giant rise and get out of its harbor. It was in what it thought was a safe harbor. It wasn't safe.
No, it didn't.
And they had to send in people from out, the Lord had to send in people from outside to
to free the giant that was bound in its own harbor. And so that's another place of confirmation that I wanted to give you. I think I probably have inside of my head a lot of the prophecies that have been spoken, and that as things come to the front, I'll confirm you.
Yeah. This today stuff, I think you know that a lot of intercession is seeking it for next year or the year after that. That's wrong. We should be praying for this now. I'm telling you, the Lord's going to move on down in these seasons, but you're going to have to be today. Today is the day of intercession. Today is the day you need. Today is the day that you need to be healing. And I don't see that healing's an option. It's a commandment. Matthew 10:8 is a commandment. It's not an option. You heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cleanse the leper, and you cast devils out. If you're a disciple of God, that's a commandment. I shared that with him. He didn't tell me he wrote a book on that.
It was he gave a message. He gave a message in Indianapolis. The Vern was there. The Montmays was there.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Several months ago when you were sharing it, Bobby, I don't know if you remember, but you said that there were already three in position in the city, and the Lord would be sending in.
In the fourth.
And that no matter what the city needed, there'd be no lack. Do you remember that?
Yep, I remember.
That there'd be a continual supply. Something would need, and either somebody would move into the city or bring it in, or but that they'd never lack.
The whales are in camp today. Beersheba means the well of the oath. So there's been prophecies that's come there that are being uncovered. And see, you've just uncovered a well. Gulliver.
There is a church on the east side and a church on the west side that I believe holds two cans. The church on the east side is not far from where Maria Woodworth Edder's place.
Oh, it is.
So is, right. Right. It's a mission church. Black and Hispanic.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Actually, that church is in that neighborhood. It's really on the west side, the southwest side. Actually, we were there last week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were?
We've been drawn there a number of months ago in intercession.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Chris and Melissa were home, so it's been about a year ago.
We went there
too,
about 2 years ago on that property. Before that church moved, we were there praying. And while we were praying, it felt like we were told to uncap the well there like 2 years ago. And while we were praying, the church, that Hispanic church, was moving in. The day that we went to pray, they were moving in, and they were restoring the inside of the church. And it was talked to them, really. But 2 years, just a couple months ago, you saw them because you know better. You were there.
Yeah. Well, we've been...
What's the date?
The date of...
What's the date today?
First.
Of what?
July.
What number is July?
The 7th.
He's starting a complete work. He means to complete it. And these Supreme Court judges I think Satan has wrote off the church in America. I think he's getting ready to write it back on again. And for sure, we know that there will be two Supreme Court judges appointed by Bush. And the word I brought would be three. You understand, it would determine the destiny of this nation for the next 25 years. Yep. Well, this is what he had me to bring in the challenge way back here. And today it really comes.
I don't know what it means, but I'm seeing somebody, I see a man in water, and it's like he has in an inner tube, and he's, you know, holding on to the inner tube, but his feet are just paddling, round and round and round, and he just keeps going round and round and round on top of the surface of the water. Almost like he's riding a bike, but he, you know, his legs are just paddling.
I think it's time to turn her loose. The water to me represents the Holy Spirit. Turn her loose. And we ground. Which we won't. But really become vulnerable and allow the Holy Spirit to dictate policy to us. He's the only God down here. And he's moving. And the intercession he wants now, not for next year or the year after that. He wants to release stuff now that begins the equipping.
And earlier, when you talked about the water, earlier I just saw the white light just pouring into water. Just pouring.
White light?
Mm-hmm. Bright white light.
Well, the white light's got every color in it. But sound comes from heaven as light. And when it hits the earth, it becomes sound. So, to me, that's speaking of Indianapolis. And that white light coming there and becoming praise and intercession. I do know there'll be a transfer of power from Cincinnati. There'll be some transfer of power from Cincinnati to Indianapolis. So, I know that this prophecy is about this, and I can't find them. When I'm told things like this, sometimes I don't know where my source comes from. Because sometimes the word spoken to me by the Spirit that I sort of don't know who spoke it to me, the Spirit or some man or woman.
Tell them when you'll be in Cincinnati too. 7th through the 12th.
I'll be there. 12th? Yeah. 7th through the 12th. You might be praying on that.
I wonder, I know the people well that are hosting that.
Yes.
And I wondered if there was a reason that some of us should go. This is sounding while you're there to make for some transference for something to happen as you were there. I wondered if we needed to gather a group from Indianapolis and go down.
That I don't know. But you can find out, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you're right on the transfer.
Yeah.
And I think you're talking about transferring some gifts there too.
Yes.
And
I'm
one of the, that's right, I'm one of the surviving eagles. And I can impart. So I think he would send me there at different times to impart to you.
To Indianapolis?
Yeah. Why would he give it to me?
I'm in agreement.
I am too.
And to teach on the gifts.
As a matter of fact, I've been there for a while.
Yeah. I just need the timing. It isn't now.
No.
And I don't think it would be before the end of this year, the beginning of next year. But I think it's needful for the harvest. For I have no idea how much your first harvest will be, but you need to be in place. by next spring.
Well, I'll tell you now that you have an invitation that we would host you when the time is correct.
Yeah. Well, you need to seek the Lord in intercession so he will speak to me.
You remember Lamont Mays before you moved here? Lamont wanted you to come to Indianapolis and stay?
Yes, I sure do.
And his heart was for that. And see, he's an intercessor.
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
And I'm in a holding pattern now. I thought that the Lord would let me sell this place and move. And he said, no, hold this until he tells me when. And also with me, there's a timing.
Also, Dan shared some things with me in a prophecy.
And in that prophecy, I was waiting to find out what took place last June the 6th. You may remember a few of the things I've said that took place in the past on June the 6th. The Eagle Nebulous is a picture. This year took place a year ago, June the 6th. And that's the eye of God in the heavens declaring a thing. And so this June the 6th, I couldn't figure out what it was, and Ann brought me some prophecy there. Have you any idea what took place 38 years ago from last June the 6th? Can you figure it? Let's see if you can get it. When?
66? No.
67. What took place 38 years ago? In
67. Martin Luther King?
Martin Luther
King?
Israel.
Israel.
Oh, Israel. Yeah.
Jerusalem is what you count from, never Israel.
That's right.
No. Jerusalem is the footstool. Jerusalem is the clock. It become a united city. When Samuel spoke to Saul, he said, now the kingdom is rent from thee. That was 7 years before David was born or conceived. And when Samuel appeared to him, that witch in the door, when he stepped out of that great cloud of witnesses and spoke to him, that was 38 years later. And Saul was coming to his Balboa. So, the church has been doing this around Kadesh Barnea for 38 years. But now it's different. The next 2 years, you're heading for the promises of God. And the circumcision of soul. Romans 4:11. And in some of these scriptures I give you, what I'm reading out of this is the Amplified. And he's still talking about circumcision of soul, isn't he? Gilgal. And we're headed for the Jordan. That's what I'm talking about. This next 2 years, it isn't for defeat. And it isn't that we'd be defeated in Jericho either, for these walls coming down. And in some of my visions, y'all should have had visions back here about climbing the mountain or coming off of it.
That's just really recently. There was a vision about climbing mountains, and a group, a united group, was let out halfway up the mountain to climb the rest of the way, but the leadership of that group went around the mountain to meet them on top. That just was very recently.
Yep.
3 weeks ago.
Well, this is It's time to come off the mountain. It's time that old things will pass away and all things will become new. Here's some things that took place back in Kansas City while I was back there recently. I saw a square fire. It was like it's no end, and it was right before me. And the fire talked to me. And the fire said, "Do you see any smoke?" And I said, "I don't understand this fire, for there's no smoke." And he said, "I don't blind people's eyes." Then he spoke to me and said, "Are you burned?" I said, "No, but I feel like I'm drunk on wine." And he said, "I don't burn people either. I don't hurt people. I am the divine fire of God's love. And I'm eternal. And I'm going to move now." And he gave me some scriptures. And I'll share them with you. And that fire talked to me. That out of the fire come a hand. And I reached up, even in a trance, and shook hands with him. And he said this, and I think this is a word for y'all too. "I'm looking for friends. And I'm looking for friends that will start a house of Koinonia." You remember that word hadn't come in a long time now, has it? But now this is what I'm looking for: those who will be my friends, that were literally joined to me in marriage. So then I knew who that voice was, I thought, and I said, "Lord, I've been wanting to shake hands with you for a long time." And he said, "I'm not the Lord. I'm the Holy Spirit." Even when I come out of that trance, my hand was up there higher than I could reach in the bed, and I was still shaking. And he's looking for friends. And, you know, the Lord, with his friends, they obey him. He's looking for people that will be obedient and will start a friendly house. Then he spoke to me and he said, "This is the voice that you're called to be," John 1:23. He said, "I'm the voice of those crying out in the wilderness, the voice of one shouting in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, level straighten out paths." The Lord and the prophets Isaiah said, that's Isaiah 40, also 3. So we're talking about the true prophets are taking up the spirit of John the Baptist and Elijah, and what they're saying, make straight the way. So then he gave me this. John 2:10. And he said to him, "Everyone else serves the best wine first, and then people have drunk freely. Then he serves that which is not so good. But you've kept back the good wine until now." We're getting ready for the best of the wine. And then, in the 11th verse, "And the first of his works, which is arch, signs and wonders and miracles." And we've been like this. But now it's going to arch. An ending and a beginning. So don't be discontent if you start out here at the bottom. Because you're not going to go straight no more. You're going to arch. And this is one of the reasons he sent me back. I'm going over to Deuteronomy 5. The 22. "The words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain." That's the mountain. Out of the midst of the fire, the cloud and the thick darkness. With a loud voice, and he spoke not again, added no more. He wrote them on tablets of stone and gave them to me, Moses. And when you heard the voice of, in the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near me, all the heads of your tribe and your elders. And you said, behold the Lord. So there was two groups, the two kinds of Aaron, that they were climbing the mountain with him. Who? The leaders and the elders. And you said, behold the Lord, our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we've heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have this day seen that God speaks with man, and man still lives. Then they said, Moses, you go up. We don't want to ever go up on that mountain again. We don't ever want to stand before that fire again. And ever since that, the Father's been looking for a generation that would. It's now. A generation who would climb that mountain and would come to that burning bush in the time of the burning bush and would hear his voice and have a vision for returning his glory.
Wednesday night, we prayed for the Jews, Wednesday night, and for Israel. And when we did, the Lord specifically spoke a scripture, and it had to do with the cherubim of glory is over the mercy seat.
Yeah.
But the mercy seat before, didn't you have agreement with the mercy seat?
Yeah. You
know, the whole prayer time had to do with that one revelation.
But you were birthed in mercy. See, he pulled it back. If the church doesn't release it, it won't be. And do you know about the straits? There's 3 weeks in the year that Satan is the strongest. It's called the season of the basilisk or the straits. It begins the 24th of July and ends August the 14th. And it's when, on the 9th of Av, it's when all of Jerusalem was destroyed and all these things. So it's a thing that we put out years ago. And this is a time that we need to be praying for Israel. Really strong.
It's on his webpage.
And it's about the straits of the basilisk or the dragon. It's in the 91st Psalm 13 verse. And this is the time that we really need to be praying for Israel. And it's a key time for Israel because Israel is ready to even revolt against itself. We need to get it through this season. We're also in a key time of the change of government in Israel. I was recently sent to Spokane, Washington. You know about that? 7 years ago, I was sent there to pray for Israel and for Benjamin Netanyahu, that there was going to be a thing try to kill him and his cabinet. So I was out there and we prayed 3 days, and there come a portal that we were praying into, but we didn't get it done. Bobby Connors is back east. The Lord spoke to him in the middle of a conference. Don't go back to the conference. I've got a ticket waiting for you there before you get out there and hit Bob Jones. So he flew out to Spokane. And when he came in, I told him, bring what you see here, and he brought the same word. There's no way at all it could be exact what he did. And I was there, and one of the reasons is I think I couldn't get it done because there was a man that went there before me. And he went to the church and said, this man, don't believe him. This man is false. And no pastor in Spokane showed up. They said that anybody that goes to these meetings are no longer in relationship with any of us. And all the intercessors come in. And then when Bobby come in and brought the word, we begin to intercede again. And the second day, it was like finished. 3.5 years ago, Benjamin Netanyahu, they were interviewing him. And he said, they did offer me a peace treaty over in Jordan that I could have lived with. And I was taking my cabinet over, and an angel withstood me face to face and said, it's a trap. They mean to kill you and your cabinet and start the Third World War. And he said, I sent in 2 spies to assassinate the man that set it up, and they got caught. And it really took a hard way to get them back out of it. So, as I was getting ready to leave there 7 years ago, I was at a place called Eagle Nest, and Timothy Sherman was pastor. I told him, close it up, Timothy. The Holy Spirit will not move in this town for 7 years. So the 7 years was up March the 29th. The pastor that withstood that the strongest in town, 2 weeks later, him and his sons were out fishing in the Pacific. They found the boat, but never their bodies. And everything that withstood that is disintegrated or dead. They should have asked without letting men stop them. So they've been praying up there, and they wanted me to come back. They had the date. Now, there's been denominations move up there, but no spirit. So they were asking, when are you coming back? It's time. And I prayed, and the Lord said, it is time. Go and take that off. And ask the Holy Spirit to come back into Spokane. So that's the reason I went to Spokane. Let's take that off.
We got a call from Spokane not too long ago. And I don't know the person on the other end of the phone, but they said they wanted to know what was happening in Indianapolis because there was a direct relationship with what was happening in Indianapolis that would happen in Spokane. Huh?
He's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming back in. So, he's looking for people that will be his friend. They will have a church that is a friendly house. So I was out there with the Sanfords and Cal Pierce and the Healing Rooms. They're all friends. This is a pretty good sized conference. And that's why I went. Is to ask the Holy Spirit to come back. So, I understand that. And that's what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit coming back into Indianapolis.
I don't know what the revelation had been, but they knew that there was a direct connection with
praise
what was to happen in Indianapolis. Would be
Spokane. Lord, that's...
Yeah, I've got that glory all over me.
Yeah, I understand that totally. Because I was told to go. And I was told that behind me would come the hot bread. The meals in Spokane would be warm meals now. And a house of Koinias is warm food. Food prepared that day. Now he's looking for friends. And years. Everything for years I've watched this June the 6th. And he's given me prophecies that every June the 6th. And that one over is 95. This one's the last year. And the heavens are declaring things that they haven't lit up like this in 2,000 years. I had a vision. I'm in my 5th eagle mold. You know what an eagle mold is?
Well, I wanted to tell you this a while ago when you started to talk about the eagle. There's an elder in Indianapolis that has felt God said, send them an eagle. And he has scattered eagles all over the town, big eagles like this, that this is just this year that this has happened. And he has, Lord say, send one too, you know. And so someone wanted to take my eagle. They wanted to sell it at an auction. I said, no, that eagle stays.
This is the worst eagle molt that I've ever gone through. I've known international shame. It was nothing compared to this.
Yeah, I'm going through an eagle molt, too. I am. In fact, when you said this a while ago, about rise up again and the energy for the harvest, I thought, how can I?
You can't. With me, I need to live through it. For it's only in the molt that the eagle spreads. They don't grow. And in their shame, they're the most barren. And that's where I am now. But recently, he showed me the coming eagle in. I had feathers above my eyes. And so the day before yesterday, we found out what kind of an eagle it is. It's a harp eagle. It's the biggest of all eagles. It has a hind claw as big as a grizzly bear. It really kills monkeys and sloths and things like that, which is demonic realm. So I'm about 40% through it. So the feathers are beginning to come back, but it isn't quite my time yet, although I've got a lot of conferences and the revelation is good. But that time is probably I'll have to live with the thing of the arch. And therefore, I think the worst thing that could happen is just be one person moving in the arch. Because when you touch God's glory, it leaves. And I would rather teach other people to do the signs and wonders than just one man out there. It's too dangerous. But this eagle, it's the biggest of all eagles. I looked up to find out what kind of an eagle. I never saw an eagle like this before. So you may want to look it over too, because at the end of this, that eagle, you don't have to worry about, because things can't escape him through the trees. He goes right under and he gets them. But for me, the main thing is living to that time. And also, before I would do too much, I mean, I'm lined up in conferences, but I think some of the main power is going to come when I'm married again. So I'm not quite ready there. But I need to. I need to turn my back on the past. And it's not good for me to live alone here. The battle is too severe without somebody supporting him. And a lot of people didn't realize it, but Bob was what, she's the one who ministered to me. I did the things out in front, and she did the things, and she got me there. I need somebody else to get me there, because it's too much to do it all. Yeah. So I will marry again, and I don't like that thought right now. But I don't like the loneliness either. And I need somebody that will help get me there. Because if you get me there, I'm really gifted. And all my gifts come by betrayal. By persecution. People don't realize that every time that Jesus happened in my past, at the end of that, the Father gives me new gifts. And always when I've gone into fellowship, I go in there with signs and wonders, miracles. Then when they build big and they need to really bring it to where it confirms with man's ideal, they usually throw me out. That's not so with Morningstar. I'll be here. No. But this is the end of the moat. So I've read that. I'm going to let you take that with you. it'll speak to you, because in here, have you seen where he speaks about the female?
I'm not sure.
The female is more powerful than the male. So we really need, and we need the females first. Those that can motivate intercession by revelation. And it's, as I said, when we get the revelation, let's speak it into existence.
There's a duty to see dead souls.
Yep. Read about over there where. That's where they. Prophecy is generated to become creative. Isaiah 48:6. You've heard these things before told. Now you see this fulfillment. And will you not bear witness to it? I show you specific new things from this time forth, even hidden things, kept in reserve, which you have not known. 7th verse. They are created now, called into being by the prophet word. Once we get permission, let's get creative. See this over here? You know what that is? It's DNA. It's Papa's DNA coming to Nashville. And Papa's DNA floats every place looking for prophecy to speak it in. That was my birthday. They are created now, called into being by the prophet word. Not long ago and before today, you have never heard them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. In other words, it's going to be instant revelation. Also, it used to turn like this, the portal. This is a year. Now this is a year. A year's growth in a month, and which is escalating. We have our daddy's DNA in us. I'm going to hand it to her. What happens if the Holy Spirit gives us a word of prophecy to create? Come in. Do y'all know Alan Smith?
How are you?
You're all from Indianapolis.
Now,
Alan, Randy Fallis, I met you in KC 2 years ago. Remember we spent some time together?
Well, his kids, it's time that they do greater works than what the Lord did. Because the Lord did everything he did by faith. The Holy Spirit wasn't given. The reason we should do greater things than what the Lord did is we have the indwelling Holy Spirit in here. We should do greater things and break greater words than John the Baptist did. And we haven't glorified the Father and to sacrifice any of these things until we do. When the trouble of it is we've sort of been shaming our family name by not doing anything. Now, Alan's a farmer. He ought to know about fallow ground. But we all there that ground there, also, there's an ability back there to produce a harvest that's really going to be needed in this nation. So I'm talking about natural blessing, too, on the ground. Because there's coming a drought and things like this, and a place that he's going to move, it's going to be blessing in the natural, in the heavens, in the natural and under the ground. So I believe there's been water springs that's been hitting under the ground there, y'all are getting ready to see them come forth. Well springs. But when the eagle comes forth again, hon, that's the biggest of all eagles. And this is what the molt does. So when he comes forth again, he comes forth with divine purpose. And I always see demons as broken back monkeys. And snakes are religious spirits. That's what he lives off of. And sloths. But this fire that spoke to me that I was telling you about, it said, those that draw close to me, and they draw close to those that's lukewarm, they'll catch on fire. And when you draw close to those that's cold, they'll catch fire again. So this is what we talked about back there with you, that those that's fallow ground catch fire again. I believe the people in your area is getting ready to see two wells that are pure water. We're getting ready to see an awesome change. Do you know what happened today? And if you saw the news today, how many times have you heard me say that Bush would appoint three Supreme Court judges? Sandra Day O'Connor resigned today. So there's two we know they'll appoint right away, and the third one too. That will determine your grandchildren's destiny. All of your. And we, the church, have got to get up and begin to take the opposition out for him. We have the say down here. What happens if we get up and say? Seven, one. Anybody get anything on 7-1? What about 2 Corinthians 7:1? Therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring out, consecrate to completeness in the reverent fear of God. Those eagles have as long a claw as a grizzly bear. And a grizzly bear in the spirit represents fear of man. Fear. But when the eagle reveals the fear of God to people, I believe you're getting ready for the sun to burst forth. The sunburst. There, it'll go in every direction. And if we are in the right, we both are going at the same time, it'll probably be winter before it's our time to fly. But we shouldn't be lax in the meantime.
Yeah.
Okay. Just look those over and you'll, I have no idea why the feathers over the eye, but everything there on that bird speaks. And those that's been going through that are prepared. And the main thing that we really need to do is get a vision for eternity so we can close the door to the past. So we're talking a billion souls. And that's more important than any individual. And so the Lord has got individually been preparing a long time. You like me there? So there's others that you know too. And I feel that there's four others that are close with you that really are powerful. So there's five of you. And you can motivate others to this. So I think you're talking about one church, the church, Indianapolis, surrounding counties, Indiana, and the entire United States. Now, I don't know where he's going to start another thing at the same time, but that could sure be the place of the next explosion. We could go all the way to Chicago. Energy would change. Mode of travel would change. In the time that I saw this, I told I have about 25 years left. I would see all of that happen. The next 5 years, so much water would go under the bridges. Concerning America, you would not believe so many things could happen, both negative and positive. And the church, I believe, will determine how positive it is. One thing we know for sure, we can get a vision that abortion can be repealed. Family values can be redefined, and that prayer can come back into school. So these prophecies that I brought back here were 17-year prophecies. Now today, you can see the reality of it. You got a couple of pretty good Christians that are Supreme Court judges. And what happens if you put three more with them? Alabama's getting ready again to come to the front, and I believe Judge Roy Moore will probably be your next governor, if not senator. Just started a war down there. What happens if you get a war going in Indianapolis? For you got an old base of Christianity there. I mean, I saw crosses to where the dead anointed was all over. Indiana. And I saw it's time that you dig those old bones up and lay hands on them. That you uncover the ancient treasure, which is the anointing on those old bones. That was sort of it. But that's what I saw. It has resurrection power in it. As Elisha's bones did, didn't it?
In Indianapolis, there's a very large cemetery downtown, several hundred acres. And my son was just buried there in November. And we, in driving through it, have noticed the crosses in it. And I had the feeling to go and lay hands on where my son is buried and the crosses around it.
So that's what I saw today. It's like when you did. You were touching the old bones. Mm-hmm. I find out where the anointing was, too, from the past.
It's right in the middle of the city.
That's what he means to do, because he means that to be just simply in the middle of what he's going to do. And as I was touching those bones, they become dust. But the dust still had the anointing in it. So the dust is there in the ground. Is Marie Woodworth had her buried there?
No, her husband's buried in that cemetery, though.
Yes.
But she's on just as a confirmation, though, that if you want to listen, that we've been drawn to the site of our old church where that church now stands. And we met with the pastor there last week, myself and another elder. And they opened that place for us to be able to do, to have a service there, to plant a church there, to do anything we wish to do. And I know that's a well kept.
Yep.
But it was so the Lord, because we actually met them and began ministering with them to a community and didn't realize that that's where he was from. It was so the Lord.
We were drawn there 2 years ago, and then we stepped back from there because we didn't see the connection. And then through an outreach that we've done into a very, very poor section of Indianapolis, we've been drawn back to that place and connected once again.
Hmm. Everything that I've got for you is just pieces. But there is a picture in there. So, I haven't got all the puzzle put together for you. But in other groups, you ought to be able to get it put together pretty easy. And in this vision, it was like, this nation will be blessed because of that. That was strange. I was looking for the treasure in those old caskets. And it was in the dust. The dust of those that some of them been gone for 100 years.
Well, that's certainly where they'd be. That's the third largest cemetery in the United States. And one of the oldest anywhere that they've lived.
Mm.
I think Mariah's buried in Kansas.
Well, instead, I think it just meant touch that old anointing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't think to lay it on the head, cross, and that, but it meant touch those old anointings. Expect them to return.
Mm-hmm.
Awake them up again.
Mm-hmm.
And individuals. And there, as I said, there's individuals that are over 50 that life is just kicking the sap out of them. Go revive them. Go revive them. For what they ever had is still in them. It's just capped. Their will, very, you can uncap an individual. The 38 years is over. It's time that we move. It took Israel 2 years to cross the Jordan and take and conquer the tribes that need to on either side. And Jericho represents to me old demonic strongholds that when we were faithful. And how many times did they march around Jericho?
Seven.
7-1, the beginning. And they didn't bring the walls down. God did. And they proved that they would push straight down. They didn't fall out. They pushed straight down by the hand of God. So you can expect the hand of God to move there. I shared with you, I didn't share everything I've seen out of the past because of the inventions and things like that. And motivations of in the future that would be there would be anti-gravity machines and that ran all the things above the air. And television to where a man would preach in Chicago and all of you around there would hear it because it'd be linked up. So wherever the anointing was, when you all come together, is what would be the man that the Lord had chose is what all of you would be listening to. But he would have a television to such an extent, it was like you were there. And you'd be there all over the Midwest. And today, I believe there was time.
Share with them the progression. You know how the Lord has shown you about the provision
television. When you just said television. Yeah. Did you ever put together what television really is? It's telling a vision. And with a vision, then people can begin to pray for provision. You got a vision. Seek the Lord and get the provision for it. And that's one thing I'd say you'll need back there is intercession for the provision to accomplish this.
Right.
And once this starts, you won't have to worry about it. It'll come in. They'll willingly give an hour of his power. But you need the provision to start it with. And that provision back there would come because of miracles that would happen. You never know when there is, but there's going to be a miracle back there that will really be outstanding, and that will bring wealth in. And there will also be a beginning. So a lot of times with my miracles, it's when I least expect it. Usually raising the dead, the only time I raise the dead in the church is just once. The other time it's been grocery stores, hospitals, restaurants. Without a vision, there'll be no provision, and people will perish. And I really feel the enemy set down the vision back. He's closed the door to the vision, you open it again. Open those wells. Probably, I would be able to hit you some next year sometime. My plate's pretty full now in the conference and things. And it's also a preparation going to many places. And I see the anointing falling a lot of places. But I think the next target of God is Indianapolis. And the first target would be, the first wave would go out 50 miles around Indianapolis. And the second one would go 100, and the third one would get 150. And that 150, I think, is really important, because when it goes 150, then it goes all the way. But there is waves coming there. And the first wave, 50 miles. Second wave, 100 miles. Third wave, 150.
Bob, we drove from Indianapolis to Lansing, Michigan, 150 miles, and had a meeting up there and joined with a group in Lansing. And then we drove to Columbus, Ohio, 150 miles, and meeting in Columbus. So to Frankfort, Kentucky, 150 miles. We go to Springfield, Illinois, 150 miles. So there's the capitals around us, all within 150 miles, almost all of them exactly the same. So there's the same amount of time to drive to each capital.
Mm-hmm. 150 miles.
It was seen that the Lord was landing on Indianapolis for the five states, and that these capitals were places that, like ribbons of the Spirit, went out.
Yeah, absolutely, like rays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And didn't I say Springfield, Illinois would be one of the targets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back there, that's right. For some reason, Springfield, Illinois is the enemy did everything he could to discourage that place.
Oh, yeah. The church were connected with them there. They lost their whole roof, didn't have money for a new roof. They took money out from all other churches to buy the roof. I mean, they just lost their whole roof for that storm.
Well, it's going to be.
Loss of grandchildren. It's been hard.
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard with me.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I, we got to close that door.
Mm-hmm.
We can't live in the grief and live today for the Lord. The grief is yesterday.
Yeah.
And what we're involved in, our lives have been all about this time. And so, if we're going to be a friend of the Holy Spirit, we're going to do what He says.
And what's coming forth after the molt has to be new growth, new.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, yep. And the authority to take the enemy out. We're talking about prophets that have authority to literally take him out and take out religious spirits. And in my case, whenever the Lord wants to bring me that woman, I'm going to get married again. And I really need the right one that can take the warfare that I go through.
I thought about that last night.
Oh, it was horrible last night.
I thought about it last night.
Everything I was seeing, trying to see for you all the day, was horrible. That didn't bother me that bad. 1 Corinthians
16:9. And Paul is speaking, a great effectual door of utterance has opened me here, and the reason I know it is so many adversaries. So last night I was seeing so many adversaries concerning y'all. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy there. Because the devil knows all about this. And he's going to try to raise up and stop this any way he can. And he usually does it with a religion and betrayal and jealousy. But you all ought to be finished. You ought to have been through this enough that you understand it. Division. And that's why some of you are going to have to come together, and you're going to have to covenant with the Holy Spirit that we will not divide. So I'm telling you ahead of time, you've got to get some of these things resolved ahead of time where you've got an answer. I don't have to agree with everything you say, but I'm allied with you and I'm faithful to you to the end.
As the Lord said, I was ready to back off the mountain, and the Lord said to me, he says, you can't go until they've learned how to partner. They have to know how to partner.
Yeah, and first you've got to be with him.
Yes, yes.
You understand, that's what he was saying. Friend or partner.
Yes.
And with him, then you can do it with others. We don't need people like you going home early either, or me. We need to stay for the final call. You don't have those that's gone through what we've gone through. They don't have the scars we got.
Mm-hmm. I really got scars.
Tell me about them. 40 years of persecution, betrayal. Some of the prophets I bought back there 30 years ago. It just happened. I spoke of the homosexual disease, it couldn't be cured. I said that it would mutate and become far more deadly. Last January it did. I said it would take place in New York. That's where it did. AIDS is now mutated. You've got that thing controlled. It's ready to explode again. It's depopulating entire nations of the world right now. The one thing that I brought back there 30 years ago is if you don't be a part of the judgment, then don't be part of the sin. It's really a time that we really dwell on morals. The church is going to reign is going to be a moral one, which is justice. And I also brought a word that how they would perfect abortion, and when they finally brought it to such a state that it was a pill that would push the baby away from the wall, God would judge this nation. That's now. Also brought a word that it'd be two cheap drugs and mixed together. They'd make a deadly drug. It's a meth lounge. So those words that I got killed for back there, and the Lord sent me back, they're now, 30 years ago. And I was put out of the church if you bring those words back there. I described how they would perfect abortion with all the saline solution, like the baby, burning the baby alive and all those things. But it is time that maturity. Where were you at 30 years ago?
Listening to you. I was there too. Yes. Of course, we had a circle of intercessors even 30 years ago.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And a lot of prophets.
Yeah.
They're all gone. There's just a few old prophets left, old eyes. They're not many. Some come discouraged and quit, and others died. Mm-hmm. And he always leaves two witnesses to point the way to the promised land. Everything that we're going through in the next 2 years is so that we can get the promises of God. We're headed for that Jordan. And when we cross that, we're crossing into God's promises. And when we cross the Jordan, then old things, even the manna and all that passes away. And we begin to partake of the old grain. We begin to inherit.
2 years from now, we're talking about inheriting without labor.
About last year, late last year, the Indianapolis Star had a story that the, for the first time in history that they know of, the American bald eagle is seen nesting inside the city limits of Indianapolis.
How many, for how many years?
The first time ever. That happened last year. In many places it's, that's happening in some metropolitan areas, but they say it's moved from the endangered list to the protected list.
And last year, you said?
Yes, I think it was late last year. Now we several of us kept the article, but
there are two locations now.
Yeah, and I believe that the
two locations.
Yeah, two right now. Yeah. No, you're not endangered in Indianapolis. You're protected.
Good,
come on.
Two.
I sometimes see him on my way to church on Sunday morning. Out by White River.
Well, the eagle is coming for it now. He is not anything to mess with. I mean, this eagle here, he can take the enemy out. So you got two of them there. That's interesting. Well, there's some things that's going to happen there. And I'm already a part of it. And I'll just wait to see what my involvement is. But I think one of my major involvement would be in part. In part to even small groups to start with, and those that were truly dedicated, in part to gifts to them. Well, I've imparted gifts to time flash, that when they came, they brought division. Because pride and things like that. And it wind up destroying an entire church. Because you need people that have got a covenant together. We're going to stay together. And don't mention names when it's involved in the miracles. So if he's the one doing it, our job is to pray. And he does it, doesn't he?
Well, would you share with me just about the liver and when he lost ministry, he always had somebody behind him covering his liver.
Well, no, it isn't. It's my kidneys.
Or kidneys.
And the power comes through the reins. Mm-hmm. You ever saw that in Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
That means your kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
So, it comes out of your spirit. And then it goes to your kidneys. And it comes up your back. And it's either the spoken word or your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw is, today, was really like the hands of the past anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Was going to touch hands again. And this is why I like somebody laying hands on my kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm ministering, it pulls right out of my kidneys. Mm-hmm. And it will pull to such, especially if it gets into miracles, mm-hmm. it'll pull to such a degree that I have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, my entire back becomes like ice.
Yes, I had to have people stand, that would stand behind me and hold me.
Well, that, me too.
And strong that, deliverance and miracles.
Well, that's what you want. And usually I depend on Ann and some of the others to get right back there and lay hands right over my kidneys. Because they're just like ice and my back will start to cramp. Because my bones and my flesh have never gotten used to the anointing.
Strength of it.
Yep. It goes right out of, so I've seen healings line where everybody got healed, but they were 11 ministers behind me.
Mm-hmm.
That went right out of every one.
Yeah, yeah. I call people up and said, you got to stand beside them. You got to hold me.
Yeah, that's right. Let them lay right where she is. It's really needful. For the spirit man is here, but the power comes out of the reins or kidneys. And the thing about the prophets, that they've got to watch the most is their kidneys. So they need to drink the right kind of liquid, like water or cranberry juice or something like that. Green tea. And you keep the liquid in there, because that's what takes most eagles out. And also, in preparing food, an eagle really should use, in preparing especially eggs or something like that, he should use the very best of the olive oil. What it does, it flushes the entire system out. All of you, if you have problems, then what will really flush out your system is olive oil. So old eagles have learned to stay alive. Have you got any questions? Did you understand what I was giving you?
In fact, you said, you know, you weren't giving us the picture. You were giving us the picture. It wasn't parts and pieces. It wasn't a picture.
My life is wherever he wants it. And if he wanted me in Indianapolis, then I'd be ready. But I know that I'll always be connected with Morningstar and the people right in here.
Faithful ones.
Yep. And Reagan Falls. But you can travel so quickly now.
Even farmers, huh?
Yep.
There's actually a couple that's moving that lives in Indianapolis now. You know Tom Hardiman?
Yeah.
He told us this, that there's a couple that moved from Cincinnati and they're going to do a church plant downtown Indianapolis and start Friday Night School of the Spirits. But he didn't know when. He thought it was going to be either a year from now or maybe 2 years. But when you spoke of the transfer of power, I just thought about that. That there will be a Morningstar, an MFM church planted downtown.
Several years ago, probably 15 years ago, there was a busload of people, the Kellys, gathered a busload of people and gone to Indianapolis for impartation. Intercession, impartation. They ran into it like a Greyhound bus.
You're not that far from Cincinnati, are you?
No,
no.
That's why I wanted to know that your date.
We have been there a lot.
I just live there.
Well, I think today I saw timing for you.
I just want to tell you personally, I'm very excited. I've not been able to think of anything else but the healing that he's going to release. And that he's beginning to release.
What? That's the beginning. That's what will begin in the beginning, will be healing.
And actually, I'm after mine. And I'm expecting it.
Yep.
And I'm expecting it today.
Amen.
This day, I've been expecting it this very day.
Absolutely.
I led worship for first six years at Red Life. And
yeah.
Then the enemy took my voice away. I've had leukophagia, and I've had it for 4 years. Teach and lead worship, and some days I can't hear from God. But I've been waiting for my healing.
Amen.
And expecting it today.
That anointing is ready to come out of the grave. Sally, what about her today?
It took out the thyroid and didn't think it was malignant.
had to send it all to be searched.
See?
It wasn't in the board's box.
See, that's what I said. I felt that what they'd find in there was corruption and not cancer. Because I think the Lord killed that cancer there. And there'd be nothing wrong with their voice box. So that's the way it went, right? That's where that's over. It's time. That DNA can recreate. Another thing, if some of you were to get a vision of being young as 100, and we ought to get a vision of going past 100, because they're going to need us to get there. It's really interesting about the eagle's nest, two of them there. Two cans of beer.
I had a dream a few years ago. I was walking in front of a restaurant and there was a prophet there that, if I mentioned his name, you'd know it. He was sitting in there working on some notes and he had a big glass of beer on his table. Like this, like this flared out. He motioned for me to sit down and then he looked up from his notes and he said, have a drink. So I took a drink and it didn't taste bitter at all. It was sweet. I set it back down and he was writing notes. He looked up again. He said, go ahead, have another. So I had a second drink of beer. And on the strength of that, there was a lot of other stuff that happened in that dream, but I felt like I already made one visit to some meetings this guy was conducting, and I felt like God was saying there needs to be a second visit. Two drinks, two anointings. And I went to this place where he was preaching, and he opened the scripture and he started reading out of Exodus and he said, from there they came to Beer. And I looked, I didn't even know the word was in the Bible.
Beersheba.
Yeah. And it said, and in my margin it said, well.
Yep.
And then at the end of the service he called two of us up, myself and another guy, prophesied to us and left. He usually prophesied to more people. Prophesied to two of us. So there were two drinks of beer. When I got there, the guy that I was going with had exactly the same sweater I had on, two sweaters, two drinks. There's even more than that, but when you saw you started talking about two beers today, I'm thinking another application of that dream that I didn't know about.
That's why he did it that way, wasn't it?
Evidently.
No, that's what he wanted to confirm it that way today, didn't he?
Yeah.
The way it really get burned in, didn't it?
It's burning right now.
Yeah. That's quite a vision, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Yeah. So you've already been there. To give you a vision that can't be stolen from you. Well, if you got written down what he prophesied over you?
Yes.
I would turn it back to Papa.
Yeah.
Papa, you've confirmed it. It's today. It's beginning now. Just give me the understanding how to accomplish your will. Because what I'm doing, I'm confirming this day that the revelation you got is from him.
I believe it.
Yeah. Why would he nail it down so?
Well, there was one thing you asked about me questions. I did have a sense, probably last Saturday, that there would be an imparting almost of mantles kind of thing today, and you would give an imparting.
Yeah.
For a mantle, and yet making one mantle.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't
have that sense last Saturday.
So, that's what I thought I'd do at the end, so it must be time that I pray for y'all and we'll go eat. Y'all hadn't ate dinner yet, Eddie. Mm-hmm. So,
I have a question.
Really?
What should we be? I know you said to fallow ground and to break that up, but what else should we be praying to protect and praying to uproot? Like, is there anything specifically that you feel like we should pray for?
The religious spirit?
Yeah.
Which is a snake? And it gives you the scripture. Matthew 16. 18. And I tell you, Peter, a large piece of rock, and on this rock, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I'll build my church in the gates of hell. The power of the eternal region shall not overpower it, for to be strong to its determinant or hold out against it. Eternal regions means doctrines of man and doctrines of demons. And that's what's weakened the church. Traditions of man, doctrines of man, and doctrines of demons. So they follow their traditions more than they do the Holy Spirit. And these doctors of demons, they put stuff in there that is entertainment, that you go there for entertainment instead of, it's like you want the praise for an entertainment instead of it's a ministry to God. So those are the two things you watch out for. The demonic and the doctrines of man. But that's what that claw is for, is to take our demonic out. And the next one there says, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. So we're talking about the coming, the promises of the coming of the kingdom. And those keys unlock the prisons. Alcatraz.
And my other question is just, what's the deal with cancer? Where we're at, it's all over the place.
Yes, it is, and cancer begins with one rebellious cell. And that one rebellious cell multiplies. And there's rebellion in the body of Christ. I think cancer is a parable of that. And cancer usually begins, a lot of times, when we let anger and bitterness come into our lives. So I'm not saying it every time it happens, but I think bitterness really is one of the major avenues that the enemy kills people with cancer. And I'm seeing about 10% of people healed of cancer. But a lot of things that I'm seeing a change now. You know, you mentioned Tom Hartleman. His wife had had pain in her for years. She lived in continual pain. And they wanted me to pray for her, and I knew if I prayed for her, the Lord would heal her. But I thought, I think it should be more than a healing there. It should be take her into help. So I knew to pray for her and to lay my hands on her head, and I took her back to when she was 11 years old. And I said, you should see somebody hurt you back there. And she saw it immediately. It was an ant. And I told her, okay, now, oh, see, that unforgiveness sinks into us, and we forget it. When she remembered it, she forgave her, and I didn't have to pray for her, because she was immediately healed. She was taken from the outer court into the holy place of health, and she's been healthy ever since. No longer the hurt, the pain, total deliverance. So there is coming past healings, which is the holy place of health, outer court divine healings, holy place, divine health. Holiest of holies, divine life. So in some cases now, I've been taking people back to where unforgiveness came in. They got wounded, they got hurt, it's so deep in their mind you didn't think about it anymore. And it's like an infection. It just comes out all the time. So when they get them free of that infection, then they have health. So she's been healthy ever since. And so there are things that cause sickness. And I believe that so much cancer, honey, is a sign what's in the body of Christ. It's so much rebellion. So much of wanting your way. Division. Doctrines of man and doctrines of demons. And when you've had those preached into you, ever since you're a baby, you want everybody to change into your doctrines instead of you changing. So I call it leprosy. Doctrinal error is leprosy to me. And there's a need that the truth be expounded on again. So a lot of times I've set people free just because of something they had unforgiveness on. So when you're praying for people, pray, Lord, is there something that's in them that they got so hurt, so wounded, and haven't forgiven in their past, or I can get that infection out to where they're not affected anymore. And these are people that have really been wrong. But it still is no excuse for unforgiveness. Do you understand, hon?
Yeah.
So several times recently, I've taken people back to where this thing entered in. And when they get free, they don't need healing. They've been brought into the presence of help. Now, back in 89, I moved in this realm for 2 years. They were miracles of beyond imagination. But that's when the killing started. I mean, everybody wanted eagle feathers in their hat. And they all tried to shoot them out of my tail. Well, I just learned to fly higher. But the enemy will bring division like that. And who's the loser? Christ. Vineyard was really blessed when he kicked me out. They all began to die. They did. You know who was praying for him? So, when they kicked me out, there wasn't anybody praying for him. He was a loser. Now, well, after all this time, they're trying to figure out what they threw me out for. Because they threw me out for adultery. And they didn't believe it then. It wasn't true. But they were looking for an excuse to get rid of me. And they did. And I wound up in North Carolina, 2 miles out of town, east of the Brushy Mountains. Yes, suffering for the Lord. I've already laid hands on you two, haven't I?
Oh, yeah.
When it sticks like this, it's the bottom of Gilead. You understand that? Healing. So let this man teach others so that they may heal. And let him be used in the healing to demonstrate it to others. In Jesus' name. Good? Good. 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 It's all over your hands. Good. Let him also be able to give a vision to the barren church so it can bear the children again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When it turned green like that, one that can teach. Good. Let her bring light to those that's going through a dark night. Let her counsel bring light to those that's going through a dark night and they're being divided by the enemy. Let her praise come up before thee. And bring the answer that she's cried out to thee for so long. Okay. So let the spirit of counsel rest upon her in a mighty way. And let a one-to-one evangelist ministry be powerful beginning this day. You understand the words? When it turned purple, it's because our intercession is getting through. So in your case, it blew in your hands. So your intercession and your revelation are already there, whatever you spoke about. So it's already working in you. Now let the power come to accomplish that which you've already revealed in him. Let the eight... You're to feel a wind coming around you. Those are angels being assigned to you. Mm-hmm. And to help you in the vision that's already been imparted to you in the pastoral ministry. Good? Good. Now in your case, it's not sticky. It's oily. That means one that moves by the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, call upon him in a mighty way and let him begin to proclaim you to those who haven't seen the light of him. Let him really mobilize and motivate and direct the body again towards reproduction in an awesome way. Let him have this Holy Spirit upon him in a mighty way to speak the words of salvation unto many, to begin to bring in the increase and the midwifing of new life in the area of which he be. Let power evangelism begin immediately. In Jesus' name. That's how those words. I see a splinter in her little finger on the right hand, which is her finger. In the name of Jesus, I take that splinter out and let it no longer hurt. Give her a vision for the coming days, an awesome vision, so that she shall see there will be no end to her sons and daughters in the coming days. So motivate and direct her towards that which needs mother, and that which needs that supernatural faith that resides in her. Let her impart it to others, and let her walk forth in a deliverance ministry that is awesome, setting people free from all manner of things that troubles the mind. In Jesus' name. Yeah. And whatever is needed there will be there. If this is needed, it'll be there. If it's the Holy Spirit that's needed, it'll be there. The spoken word and the word in power and the balm of Gilead to heal, to restore, and reunite.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we pray for your wife?
Huh?
Can we pray for your wife?
My wife?
Yeah.
Yeah. My coming one? Absolutely. Or it would be devastating if I don't get the right one with
me. Yes, that's all. I have been thinking that.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it has to be the right one.
Yes, Lord. It's born through the blood.
Yeah.
She has to be born through the blood.
Yes.
She has to know about the cross.
Yes.
She has to live the cross.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we pray for this person.
Yes.
That has been created for this time and this purpose to be Bob's wife.
Yes.
To enable him, to strengthen him, to walk in unity yes. with him, shoulder to shoulder, yes. let it be. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Oh! In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, like he said, let's go buffet our body now.
Yeah. You ain't yet, Alan?
I was heading to place for different
soybeans.